chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Yannick Jones on the show today. Yannick is an entrepreneur and the founder of the Jones Companies. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Yannick, yay! I'm so glad that we finally made this happen to get you onto the Something Extra podcast. I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Me too. I'm excited. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. And so I love to go back and kind of tell our listeners how I got connected, because I think it's really important. I know networking is one of your superpowers, and we'll talk about that. But you said that's one of the secret sauces, you know, you believe of your success is Absolutely. Networking and meeting people.
Absolutely. Meeting people is definitely a superpower. And like I told you in one of our other conversations, I think I'm like an original OG of triple OG hustlers when it comes to meeting people and getting relationships started and integrating friendships as well. And so one of the most beautiful things that's happened to me thus far are all the people that I've ever met in my life, because they all had purpose, they all had meaning. And so I've used those talents and those relationships to go further.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do that for one another, Yannick, right? And I'm just reminded of, there's a verse in the Bible that says iron sharpens iron.
Ooh, there's no doubt about that.
Iron sharpens iron. And I just did a LinkedIn post just a few days ago, and I'm like, I got so many iron sharpeners in my life.
Yeah.
And I can only pray that I'm an iron sharpener for someone else. But I know you feel exactly the same way. So you just reach out to us. I think we're connected through Greater St. Louis. Love that organization.
Yes. Woo, woo, for Greater St. Louis.
Greater St. Louis.
Yep.
Keep doing good work. Yeah, they're doing amazing, amazing work. And so I know you're connected with them. We are too. And you just reached out. So I'm really glad that you did. But we've got so much to talk about today. Here, you know, I was thinking, what are the things that I would love for our listeners to take away? And obviously, I want them to hear your story. I know that your own entrepreneurial journey, education journey, all that's going to inspire them and help other people on their own journey on it. But, you know, I was thinking about, you know, one of the things is don't despise or discount youth. There's a verse in the Bible, 1 Timothy 4:12 says, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young, but be an example to others. And I mean, when you jumped on the entrepreneurial wagon, now you did other things before you did that, but you were very young, really, by anyone's standards. You were 28 years old.
Yes, ma'am.
And sometimes I know people can think, oh, well, you're young, you know, really, how much credibility do you have, that sort of thing. And I know that it was probably one of the hurdles that you had to overcome. But we were young, too. I mean, by most people's measurements, I mean, Greg and I were 30 and 32 when we took the risk. And so that's one of the things. And then a couple of other things I'd really like for our listeners to be listening for. And I know, and we'll talk about this, but you've got a purpose that's greater than yourself. And it's not just to build companies. It's not to make money. It's not to, I mean, obviously that's part of it because of the money that you, the good that you can do when you make the money, right, Yannick, and continue to invest in the world. But, you know, you've got a purpose much greater than yourself. And I'd love to talk about that. And then the importance of early influence on children. And we're going to talk about Williams Academy in a little bit. There's a lot to talk about before that. But, you know, I know you've done a lot of research there. I've done a little research myself, and it's just so important. So here's what I'd love for our listeners to be inspired. We're not just giving them information today, but we're going to inspire them to get involved.
Oh, amen.
To get involved and make a difference, right?
Amen to that. No doubt about it. The first thing I want to do is I want to create credibility for myself here on the podcast. Because I know people, when they're listening to someone, they want to know, what have they gone through? How have they made it? What makes them a credible person to talk about their life and the things that they've gone through? And I want to tell you, one of my credibilities just right off the bat will be family. I think anybody can relate to family in some form or fashion. And so my family growing up were all entrepreneurs. My mother is an entrepreneur. My father's an entrepreneur. My father, an entrepreneur in the arts, a theater director, which played a major part in my development and also in my sister's development. And when you think about theater, and I'm not talking about film, I'm talking about live performance. You have to be really, really underneath the words and nomenclature of the English language. And so at a young age, my father put me on stage and I was nervous. I was shaking in my boots and sometimes even close to pooping my pants, to be honest. But once you learn language, you learn how to read, you can then start to have a great time on stage with what you know as it pertains to language. And then my mother, who also was an entrepreneur, she's an educator. And she owned a daycare center for about 20 years. And I was a student at her Montessori school in North Carolina just growing up. And when I became an able body, my dad said, great, you're an able body. Now it's time to cut grass. So I went from being a student to being a worker. And the two really merged themselves well, where my parents believed in hard work. They also believed in being honest. And then they believed in community. And so a lot of the things that we did through the arts was all community based. And a lot of the things that my mother continues to do through education is all community based. So that's how I got to this level and to this place. And I saw it up front, the hard work that my parents put in, and that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And that's where I am.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And yeah, that family structure and that support system is so important. In fact, I think your sister, did I remember this right, or did I make this up, Yannick? Your sister's on Broadway.
That's
right?
Correct. My sister's a Broadway actress and director. If you're watching this now, you've got about 2 weeks before one of her shows close down in Sarasota, Florida. She actually just directed a show called Chicken and Biscuits, which she also was an associate director on Broadway last year. And it had rave reviews. And my sister, her name is Bianca Laverne Jones. We have the same middle name, just different spellings. But she is a light speed of a talent. And she has a talent I don't have, right? She gets on the stage and I've performed before, but she can really transform. And again, education has been a huge part of her life as well. So,
right. Well, woo to your sister. Absolutely. If anybody's down there, go see that. You know, I was thinking, you know, your parents were both entrepreneurs, but education was really important. And if I remember this right, and I could be wrong on this, I could have my facts wrong here, Yannick, but I think your let's fact check. Did your grandmother have a PhD?
That's correct. My grandmother had a PhD. My great grandmother had a PhD on my father's side. And this was in North Carolina, which is very true to the South. So you can tell from a far distance that it was a hard task to hurdle or to jump. But education in my family has always been number one. And so I'm the fourth generation to have a master's degree or higher. And it, for us, or for me specific, it wasn't a matter of if I'm going to get it or not. It was just a matter of when are you going to do it? That's right. And so being steeped in education has just been a tradition and a story for our family.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about it, but I do believe it's a game changer. It can be a game changer for people. So you already alluded to this, but you didn't grow up in St. Louis. You grew up in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, the RTP, the Research Triangle. But you've lived in a lot of different places, you know, and I'll do a little fun lightning round with you here in a little bit about that. But you went to get your bachelor's in international business and supply chain management from Clark University in Atlanta. Yes. You were at Columbia for a while, an Ivy League school, and you received a graduate certificate there in investment banking. Then you went on to get your master's in Italy at a business school. So, you know, to your point, I mean, education is very, very important, but I think you graduated with your master's when you were about 26.
That's correct.
Is that about right? Okay. I'm kind of trying to do the math here, Yannick. And then I know you spent a couple of years in management consulting. So think about, and I can't remember the name of the firm. It would be like a McKinsey or a Bain & Company. It would be that type of firm. And you did that. And then I think you did that like in Italy and France and Europe.
Yeah. So the company is called OSM International. And I have to give them a shout out as well, because the gentleman who taught me, who was the owner of the company, his name is Paolo Ruggeri. I will never forget him because he taught me how to make money, actually. He said, you got all this talent, you studied well, but do you actually know how to make money? And I was like, I thought I did, but I guess not. And so he started training me. And in Italy, if you've never been, it's a beautiful place. The food is great. And I'm talking to the listeners, if you haven't been, go and experience that. But also, what people think is so fancy in Italy is just a normal life there. And the way that they think about education, they're very old school. So when we were learning, or when I was learning through their system, he sat me down with no technology. I mean, no phone, no computer. He gave me a dictionary. He gave me a booklet about this thick. And he said, what words you don't know, you look up in this dictionary. And if you still got questions, I'll teach you. And so, again, even though I'm a millennial on the older side of millennial, I still believe in a lot of traditional practices as it pertains to business, because that's how the world goes around, right? Meeting people. And again, that's kind of where that networking influence came in as well. So education has literally taken me all over the world and brought me back. So I'm thankful.
Yeah. Let me do a little lightning round with you. I've got a little lightning round. So, you know, how many countries have you been to? Either lived or worked in?
14. I like to tell people I've tried sushi in at least 14 different countries. So, and that tells me the kind of the culture, you know, how sushi tastes in different places.
Yeah, I love that. Our whole family loves sushi. So I can't say I've tasted it in 14 different countries like that, though. So it's just really, that's phenomenal. So because you've lived or worked, how many languages do you speak?
I am very versed in three, which would be English, Italian, and French. And then I know some Farsi and also some Spanish from living in Miami, for sure.
All right. Very good. I know bonjour.
You know, next time you go, people will make or think that you speak the language, specifically French, if you say ça va, which is C-A-V-A, which means what's up, basically, in French. And so instead of saying bonjour, just say ça va. And then they'll go like, oh, yes, they'll go, she knows the language. Yeah, she's in
she
it.
She knows her language. That's awesome. Yeah. I'll do a few more lightning questions with you later, but let's go on and talk about, you lived and you studied all over the world. I mean, how did living in those places and that, Yannick, how did that inform how you interact and how you behave today? I know that was a rich education in and of itself.
Absolutely. So being from Raleigh, North Carolina, I think is a very unique place as well, where education, if you look at all of the major universities that are there, Duke, Carolina, NC State, and then there's a lot of HBCUs there as well, like Shaw University, Winston-Salem State, and more. At every turn, education was smacking me in the face, if you will. When I left that place and went to Atlanta, which was a much bigger, municipality or let's say metropolitan
market
situation.
Yes.
Yeah. Market. I had a chance to explore my likability, if you will. Right. When you're going from a place where everybody knows you and we're all kind of kinship there, then you step into a larger market and you say, well, who am I for real? And I think that that experience also influenced me. And so once I kind of made an impact in that community, I said, where else and what next? And so a funny story, quick story to tell you how I even started my international journey is that when I studied international business, you had to have a foreign language. And so my foreign language in college was French. And I'm gonna be honest, I didn't know any French and I didn't take the beginner or any of that. And so I jumped right into intermediate and my professor at that time, he said, do you know any French? And I was like, nope. And he said, well, you're not gonna pass this class. And I was like, oh no. And I said, I gotta pass this class to graduate. And he said, well, let's see how you do. And so he tells me the professor's name was Dr. Brown. I'll never forget him because he is the reason why I literally started my international journey. And he said, listen, I want you to come to class every day. Don't miss a day. And so I didn't. I didn't miss a day that entire semester. But then he also said, when you get here, I want you to sit in the front. And I said, okay, cool. And he said, when I call on you, I want you to say, je ne comprends pas, which in French means I don't understand, I don't comprehend. And so I did that and, you know, he would call on me and class would start laughing like, oh, this guy doesn't know anything, but je ne comprends pas, you know? And so, at the end of the semester, to speed up the story there, at the end of the semester, he said, Mr. Jones, I think you know French. And so he starts speaking to me in French and I literally understood 100% of what he said. But my ability to regurgitate wasn't that great or to respond. And so he said, listen, there's one scholarship left to go to Paris, France for the next semester. And if you've got time or you feel like it's a good idea, you can go for it. So I did. I went for it. I got my visa and that started my international journey. And I spent a year in Paris, France. I actually graduated. I finished my senior year in Paris and then came back for graduation in Atlanta, Georgia. And so that was really a unique experience. And I started playing basketball there. And as you said, that culture, once I got over there, again, it was one of those things where, okay, I'm in a different market. I barely know anybody. But then your survival skills kick in. Mm-hmm. And when I say your survival skills, I'm talking about when you go to the grocery store and you're looking at some packaging and you go like, I don't know if that's chicken or dog. You know, you just don't, because you might not know the culture norm. So you start looking at the packaging going like, oh, I got to learn this thing quick. Or yes. I'm gonna be eating everything that I don't want to eat. So it was something so simple, like going to the grocery store, that had a major, major influence in the way that I responded to the rest of the world while I was there.
What is that saying? I'm thinking as you're talking, necessity, you know. Oh, yeah. Innovation is born out of necessity or something like that. You had to innovate very quickly.
Very quickly. Yes. And then also just having that influence. I met some of my best friends there, but as a young man, you like girls and you want to meet people, you want to party, those types of things. And when you see somebody you like and y'all can't communicate, you go like, holy smokes, how do I tell you I like you? You know, right. So in some of those very simple concepts in life will really kick your butt in a place that you don't know. But then once you say, okay, I'm here to really survive, but more than survive, I'm ready to thrive. And once you get that feeling of thriving, you start thinking in the language, you start speaking it, you start really digesting it because you want to be alive while you're
sure.
there.
Sure. Yeah, that's so good. Well, kudos to that professor.
Oh, seriously. Yeah. Big time.
Kudos to that professor. Well, let's talk about, yes. let's talk about jumping on the entrepreneurial wagon, because I've already kind of teased our listeners a little bit with that. But you decided to jump on the entrepreneurial wagon in 2015. You have a holding company called the Jones Companies. But under that holding company, you've got several different companies. Go ahead and tell our listeners what those companies are. And then I've got some questions about that.
So one company that I really want us to talk about today is Williams Academy STL. I'm a co-founder of that organization. I'm in business with my cousin, my oldest cousin. His name is David Jr., David Williams Jr. So he's the Williams. And we named the school Williams because that's the family that we come from. That's our kinship on that side of my family. And so that Williams represents not just David or myself, but 13 or 14 other cousins that I have and my aunts and uncles and definitely my grandfather, who we highly respect and named it after. The other business is the Jones Company, which is a consulting firm focused very much in human resource and teaching leaders how to retain employees. There are many people looking for jobs, but it's not the people you hire, it's the people you keep. You want to be able to retain people. And I think we focus a lot on the thought process or the growth mindset of that. And then one or two other companies, I have a hospitality company out in Denver, Colorado, with my cousin, one of my other cousins and one of my other best friends. And we're building a speakeasy out in Denver right now as we speak. So you walk in and there's like a chicken wings and fries spot in the front. And then you walk down this corridor and there's a back door that says, et cetera. And when you walk through that back door, it turns into a party for sure. So that's a good time there. And Denver is a really unique community because you've got the mountains, the fresh air, where it's geographically located. There's a lot of other really unique things about Denver that brings a good time every day.
Yes.
And last is my technology company. And this is what I'm asked technology partners to help me with. I'm building a health kiosk that's outside where all four sides are functional, but you're able to get PPE equipment from it, right? Whether that's a mask or let's say if you're on a college campus, you need condoms or any of those types of things, you could use an app at this kiosk and receive that product. And it's called Yanni Technologies.
Yeah, it's just so awesome. Well, here's my questions for you. How'd you have the courage, Yannick, to just dive on in? You know, where did that confidence come from? I think I know what you're going to say on that, but yeah. I'm going to let you tell our listeners, where did that courage come from?
I tell people all the time, I've been cool for a very long time. It's just people didn't always know it. And so that confidence comes from trusting yourself, but also putting in the early work that gives you the confidence to step in any room and be alike. And I think not only my educational opportunities, but I think my kinship to people have given me that confidence. And so, again, if you think about the people you've met, the teachers that have taught you, you have to lean on those experiences and those things that you feel confident about. And then you're able to create your own little niche and say, hey, I'm ready to talk to everybody about this thing that I'm passionate about. So for me, it was just a matter of time. I think I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, but I just wanted to be sure that I was ready before I started saying, hey, look at me, I can sell you something, but then selling false dreams. I'm not into that at all.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm just thinking, as we've already talked about your parents, you came from a very strong family, though. You had a very strong family support system. I think from an early age, they were great about teaching you who you were and helping you step into that person, you know, that you were purposed and created to be. I mean, it's just, and what I love about that, Yannick, is, and we'll talk about this, but this is what you're trying to do at Williams. You know, this is what you're aspiring to do at Williams with the children that are part of Williams Academy. And we'll talk about that. But what do you, and we've already kind of talked about this a little bit, but you've built these entities pretty quickly. I mean, you jumped into the waters. You dove into the waters in 2015, but you've built these. I mean, I think Williams Academy was, founded in 2019. I mean, you've kind of consistently founded these entities. What do you think has been some of the secret sauce to that?
You know, you asked me early on, there was a message that you wanted everybody to get from this podcast. You know, that's something special. And that something special is consistency. Everything that I do or try to do is consistent. And we all kind of know this analogy. You can't get a six pack without doing crunches, but you don't have to do all the crunches in one day. You just have to do 20 minutes a day. And I promise you, you will have a six pack over the next few months or years, however long it takes. Right. So consistency. And I think that's where the root of the success of Williams Academy will be, is because every day we have to be consistent at teaching students. Every day we have to be consistent at teaching parents. Every day we have to be consistent at teaching our staff, and then consistent in showing up for these kids. Because some of our kids, if you guys don't know the area, we're in North County, North City area in St. Louis. And it's not the poorest place in the world, but it definitely has some economic challenges, and that is real. And so with economic challenge, you also come with some emotional challenges. And so we're dealing with the emotion of the community as well. And when we're dealing with that, that also needs consistency. So if you're a believer, you got to pray consistently. You know, anything that you do on a consistent basis becomes a religion, right? So if you get on your computer every day at 9 o'clock, you're a part of the 9 o'clock get on the computer religion, you know? So, you know, so it's about being consistent. That, I think that's been my greatest attribute that's, you know, really contributed to my success thus far, is consistency.
Consistency. Oh, that's good. I really, really like that. I think Dr. Jason Selk has a quote that he says, you know, successful people, it's not about doing more, but it's about doing the right things more consistently. I mean, we could do a whole podcast on that, because I'm like, you know, I feel like my greatest leadership challenge is probably discernment, you know, and choosing the best things, right? So, you know, if you choose those best things and then continue to do those consistently, then, like you said, 6 months from now, a year from now, you're going to have a six pack. Absolutely. But it doesn't come without the work. Well, listen, oh my goodness, Yannick, we've got so much more. I mean, I've got pages and pages left of notes here, but we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Yannick Jones on the Something Extra podcast.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my friend, Yannick Jones. So exciting. We've been having so much fun. But Yannick, I want to ask you a couple more questions about entrepreneurship. So has the journey been harder than you expected, or easier than you expected? And what do you know now that you wish you had known when you started? Or are there things like that?
Entrepreneurship is definitely one of the hardest things that one could take on. Most people think, I want to be my own boss and this thing. And that sounds great from a distance. But once you are, and I really mean that, and I'm a comical guy, so I'm saying it with full laughter. Being your own boss is not the goal. Influencing other people to be their own boss underneath your guidance is more or less the goal there, right? And so the toughest part about entrepreneurship, it could be a lot of different things, but I think sometimes getting started. And for those people who are listening, if you're sitting at your desk right now for a company and you're wondering if you should start your company, your own company, you absolutely should. And you can't do entrepreneurship part-time. It's not a part-time thing. If you're going to go for it, you got to jump, you got to believe, and you got to do it. And you can continue to try to do it part-time, but you'll find yourself coming up with excuses of why you haven't done this and why you haven't done that. And that won't save you in the slightest. But the other thing about entrepreneurship that was hard for me, but I've learned to be extremely great at this point, is patience. We all want the best right now. We all, you know, we grew up in this microwave era where we think things are going to happen right away. And the truth is, everything takes time. The best food that you've ever eaten, it took time to make that ingredient. And so this is that. You want to make sure that you're putting all the right ingredients into your business, into your own personal development. And then from there, you'll watch things kind of happen great for you because you put in the time, the work, and the energy. And I think one of my really relaxing points in entrepreneurship is having the ability to learn from other people. A lot of times everybody thinks I have the answer. The reason why I came here instead of having this podcast at the school today is because I know that people will be knocking on my door and not giving me the opportunity to speak clearly to each of you. But it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to admit when you're wrong. And then you have to be a better listener so that you can receive more than you give sometimes. And it's great to be a giver, but you want to be able to listen. And when you listen, that's how you can help other people. And I think that's been one of my greatest attributes as an entrepreneur, is really taking time to shut my mouth, because I love to talk, if you can't tell already, but shutting my mouth and opening my ears and regurgitating what someone has just told me, right? If Lisa said, hey, you know, my roof is falling in, Yannick, and I need your help, I'm going to say back to her, hey, your roof is falling in and you need my support. You know, so people want to know that they've been heard, and the only way to hear them is to listen.
Yeah. Oh, that is so good. That is so good. Well, let me ask you this. Because there's the great resignation and quiet quitting and all of that. People need purpose. And I said at the very beginning, I want people to understand, and I know your purpose is you want these organizations that you've started to be successful, but you have a greater purpose that drives you, Yannick. And so do you have a personal mission statement? Do you have a personal mantra that you could share with our listeners?
My personal statement is uniquely going beyond excellence. And so the unique part in that is I'm me. I can't be someone else, and I don't try to be someone else. But every day when I wake up, I know that people depend on me to be excellent. So I have to find unique ways to be excellent every single day, even if I don't feel like it. Right. So, and I told one of my work buddies, I said, you have to start accepting information without emotion. Accept information without emotion, because people will tell you different things and they'll give you an emotional scale of how they say it. But the truth is, you have to just accept what's being said, because that perspective that people have of you becomes reality for the relationship. So if you don't accept that, then, you know, you start giving a false sense to who you are and how to participate in that environment. And so entrepreneurship is definitely about growing self and then allowing other people to contribute to that self growth.
Yeah, I really love that. So Yannick, you'll have to go and listen, but Mark Miller, who is the Vice President of High Performance Leadership for Chick-fil-A, was on the podcast yesterday.
Oh, wow. Big time.
And when I asked him, so you can't use this, okay? You got something, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have something entirely different, but I asked him his something extra. He said, you know, what leaders need is more leaders.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I was thinking about what you just said, and it's really about the people underneath you, you know, and helping them be the best version. I mean, it's so good. So good. I loved everything that you just said. Well, I've got probably 10 more questions I could ask you on that. But what I really want to talk about now, I want to pivot and talk about Williams Academy.
Yes.
And I want to talk about, tell me about the school. I know that you guys are using a STEAM curriculum, but for those listeners who don't know about Williams, tell me about Williams. Tell me what you're hoping to accomplish with Williams. And then we'll talk about a little bit of the research and why it's important. What you're doing is so important.
Absolutely. From an employer standpoint, we are wanting more people to work. We're looking to hire right now, probably like every company, but I want people to come out and work. So, you know, we're looking to employ people. I want to start there as an employer. As a philanthropist, I kind of see this as a love project, but as a philanthropist mindset, I really want more for the community that we serve in every aspect. And I think it starts with education. And so Williams Academy is an early childhood learning center and technology daycare center. And so each one of our classrooms has some form of technology in it, but each one of our classrooms also is filled up with a bunch of little minds, little brains, little people. And so what we give those kids, or what we give these individual humans, because I don't like to think of them as children, they're quite advanced, to believe it or not. What we give these little humans is what they'll take away. And so we open our doors Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 12 midnight. So for those parents who are working those hard extra hours or working a second job, we're open to 12 midnight and we're there supporting your kids. We provide healthy meals, breakfast, lunch, snack, and even supper. So, you know, our goal is really to give to the community. And we know that education, if we just look at the history or the benchmark of successful people throughout time, education has always been a common denominator of success, right? And even those people who dropped out of high school and became these ultra billionaires, Facebook, et cetera, they still had a certain level of education that took them to that place. And so our goal is to really give these kids experiences that they typically wouldn't have at home. Our goal is to be consistent in how we teach them to be, right? Etiquette, even with the parents. Again, when you're dealing with children, you got to also deal with the parents. And our parents, they're beautiful people. And they come, you know, in church sometimes they say, come as you are. I'm here to tell you, at the daycare, they come as they are. And you have to meet them right where they are. And when you meet people where they are, they will lower that wall and they will share. And the only way we can improve a child's life is to understand where they came from. So we ask parents questions. We try to get underneath the skin cell of that and then say, okay, this is what they're learning at home. And what can we influence here at the school that also contributes to the home value? And St. Louis is a great place to do it. There's no better city in the world. And I've been to a lot of them. This is number one right now.
Yeah. Well, we're so glad that you're here. I love that come as you are and understanding the children. And I was just thinking, you know, and I've read so much, Yannick, but those early years are paramount. They really are, you know? And so, you know, and I also was thinking about, you know, you said something at the beginning about community. You know, you grew up in community. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
At Williams Academy, at the end of the day, that's what you're doing. You're creating a community, you know, a very symbiotic relationship between the parents and the children. I mean, it's or the little human beings, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, the little humans, they're there.
Little human beings, right. But it's just so important. And so I know like that those early years, the brain develops more than it will ever develop in its lifetime. So giving them that good head start, if you will, Yannick, is so important. And that's what you guys are doing with Williams Academy.
Absolutely. And to piggyback off of what you just said, I like to consider myself a visionary. So my vision for one student, and this one student represents every student that we have at the school. But I would love to see one student come through our program as a preschool student and then continue with us up until the age of 13 through our after school and summer camp program. And then by the time they get to high school, they come and volunteer with us on the summers to be like a camp counselor in training or what have you. And then once they decide to go on to college, that we can help create a scholarship fund that'll send them to SLU or to Columbia, where I went, or Clark Atlanta, any major institution. And then when they're looking for a job, this is the real dream. This is the real vision. When they're looking for a job, I hope they say, you know what? That cool guy, Mr. Yannick, from like way back 1995, Yannick, that original hustler, I hope they say, I want to work with him. And that they come back to St. Louis and they contribute to Williams Academy or contribute to some of our partners like Technology Partners and say, you know, Technology Partners helped my scholarship fund. And now I'm a part of their internship program and going through that. So that is my true vision and dream for any one student that starts at Williams Academy. And we realize that it's a marriage. When a parent brings their kid to our school, it's a marriage. It's a real relationship. We're looking for a 10-year relationship with you and your child. And so in order for us to get that relationship started, we got to really do our best to be consistent again in every facet of the business.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Well, we could talk about this from now until kingdom come, I think. Hey, but we got to get busy. We got some stuff to do, right? Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that. But I've got to ask you, this is something extra. What do you believe is the something extra every leader needs?
Every leader needs to be thoughtful about themselves. Because a lot of times, the way the world treats us is a reflection of how we treat ourselves. So I'm going to say, be thoughtful to yourself. Make sure you're taking good care of yourself, because if you don't, you can't lead anybody if you're not leading yourself down the right path. So be thoughtful to yourself. And one last thing I want to pub really quick. We're having our annual Black Tie Gala on Thursday, March 30th. I want all of you there. Tickets are $100. Technology Partners is a major contributor to it. And we've got some other really cool contributors. We're having a silent auction. The goal for the evening is to hear something cool from Miss Lisa Nichols, who's going to be our keynote speaker. Whoop, whoop to that. And the other major goal is to raise $100,000 for our after school and summer camp program. These kids need it. They love snack. So when they go out to the zoo and it's hot, they need a snack. So let's make sure we can get them a snack. But again, every dollar will go towards the program. We're going to hire more professionals to work with the students. And then we also are doing a lot more hands-on projects through our STEAM curriculum. And for those that don't know, STEAM stands for science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. And the best is yet to come. These are the early days, but the best days are still ahead for sure. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to get a little closer to the screen. Thank you for having us. You guys are wonderful. I hope every listener got something from this. And Ms. Nichols, from one leader to the next, you're the greatest.
I appreciate you so much. And I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for choosing St. Louis to come, because you're right, Yannick, the best is yet to come. I cannot wait to see the things that you're aspiring to and this grand vision you have. It's going to come to pass. It is. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have these students that come back and pay it forward, you know? And I can't wait to see it. So listen, thank you so much, my friend, for being on the show today. It was awesome.
Happy to be there. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.